A few weeks ago, I have a very rich uncle. He passed away. He had no children, and he left a big Yerusha. You know what a Yerusha is? All of his money, all of his wealth, he left it. And he says he left it to two people. To me, and to my cousin, Reb Velvel. And Reb Velvel lives in Zlotchev. Well, you know why I went to Zlotchev? Because my part of the money I kept for myself, but I have to give the rest of the money to Reb Velvel in Zlotchev. So I'm traveling there. Oh, well, okay, we could travel together. Well, Ken Alach, by this time, they got to the friend's house, they davened Maariv, they had a delicious meal, and they have beds now, and they're going to go to sleep. And Reb Shai is very happy that he has a place to stay. They wake up in the morning. They daven shachris. They eat a good breakfast. They say goodbye to their friend. And all of a sudden, this man says to Reb Shai, he says, you know, I have an idea. I see that you're an Erlach Hayid, you're an honest Jew, you're a nice man, you go to Zlotchev. Why should I have to travel for another few days to get to Zlotchev? I have things to do back where I come from. Could you do me a favor and you take this bag of money to give to Reb Velvel in Zlotchev? Well, fine. Okay. I would be glad to do that for you. And that way you wouldn't have to spend all the time going. And he says, you know, I'd like to go with you, but I really am very busy. I have to get back. And you do me a great favor to take the money. Remember, Reb Velvel in Zlotchev. And by the way, Reb Shai says, you know, I've never heard of a Reb Velvel in Zlotchev, the one that you're talking about, but I'll try to find him. Okay. And now Reb Shai is taking this bag of money. And he's traveling on the road. And also this man gave him some money to travel with, because after all, now he's helping this man out. So he had places, you know, he had money to stay in places on the way. Finally, Reb Shai gets back to Zlotchev. He felt himself to be a new man. He felt very good. He felt very happy. He wasn't worried anymore. He was relying on Hashem. And finally he gets back to Zlotchev. Well, there's two things he wants to do. He wants to go see his Rebbe, Reb Michle, tell him everything that happened. But he says, look, I have this money to deliver to somebody. Let me give the money first to this Reb Velvel, and then I'll go to my Rebbe to tell him everything. And he's looking for Reb Velvel. Where does Reb Velvel live? Reb Velvel in Zlotchev? We don't know Reb Velvel. Did you hear about a Reb Velvel? No. Where does Reb Velvel live? Don't know him. Nobody heard of him. He's looking all over for a Reb Velvel in Zlotchev. Nobody heard of him. Well, he's getting very upset because, you know, he's got a lot of money that he told this man he would deliver. Well, he says, look, let me go see my Rebbe. Maybe my Rebbe knows him. He goes to Reb Michle Zlotchever. And he tells him everything that happened. About the rich man and what he learned and what he saw and how he felt. And he thanks his Rebbe. And he says, Rebbe, I should have listened to you just to trust in Hashem. And I see I never did. I kept on complaining. But now I learned a lesson from this rich man. Have betachen in Hashem, trust Hashem. Hashem can help in all kinds of expected ways. Baruch Hashem. But I have one problem. Not a complaining problem, but I have a different problem. I have a problem, it's not a complaining problem, but it is a problem that's left over. Not exactly the other problem, but a different problem. And he tells him how he met a man on the way, and the man was very nice, and they were walking together, he gave him a place to stay, and he gave him this Yerusha, this man of money, to deliver it to Reb Velvel and Zlotchev, but he doesn't know any Reb Velvel, and nobody else does. And Reb Michle Zlotchev is smiling, and he says, you know what? I also don't know Reb Velvel. But one thing I do know, there is no Reb Velvel in Zlotchev, the one that you're looking for. So Reb Shai says, so what do I do with all this money? And who do I give it to? And Reb Michle Zlotchev says, the man that you met on the way was not a man. The man that you met on the way was a malach. And do you know where this malach came from? From the mitzvah that you did to save the women when you gave the money, just right like that out of your pocket to save the two women, the two mommies, and be able to send them back to their families. Because of course he had told the whole thing over to that Michele what had happened. From this mitzvah, you created this malach. And this malach was carrying money that was meant for you. Not a velvel. In the first place it was meant for you. And you should keep the money. And Reb Michel and Reb Shaya opened up the bag and there was a lot of money. Not chocolate Hanukkah gelt money like we have on our desk right now, but real pieces of gold that was worth a lot of money. More money than buying all the donuts and all the nash and all the toys and all the stuff and all the soda that we have in the whole class, and even more than all the Hanukkah gelt put together. And of course, Kenalach, more than the money, Reb Shaya felt thankful to Hashem that he learned the lesson of Bitachin. You trust Hashem, Hashem helps. Tracht good, that sign good. You said you learned something from this story? Come here and tell us. What did you learn from this story? A boy right away says at the end of the story, I learned something from this story. That's Givaldik. What did you learn?
That you should have Bitachin on Hashem.
And what does Bitachin mean?
Trust in Hashem.
Excellent. All right. That's the end of the excellent story about Bitachin. Okay, this story starts a lot like other stories. However, the rest of the story is different. And what we learn from this story, of course, is not only the trouble with the parets, but really it goes for any kind of trouble a person's in. Okay, there was once a man. And this man was in big, gigantic trouble, again with the parets. The Poretz was not only a mean Poretz, very mean, and a very big temper. He could explode in a minute and do the most terrible things. A minute before he was happy, and all of a sudden he gets upset. Well, this particular Poretz got upset at a yid with his family because they had not paid their rent. They owed a lot of money. And the Poretz says, you have a week, and in 1 week, if you don't come up with all the money, it was a lot of money, you and your family, with the baby, will go to the dungeon, and that's it. And of course, we've heard about this, but this is a different story than you've heard. And the yid had no way, as much as he would try, and of course he had been trying, there was no way that he could get so much money. So he went straight to his Rebbe because he doesn't have a regular way to get out of his problem. He needs a special bracha. Now, his Rebbe was not that far away, and he got to his Rebbe's town. And he went to the home of his Rebbe. And all of a sudden he found out a thing that got him very, very upset. His Rebbe was out of town, far away on some trip, and he wouldn't be back for another week. Oh no! By the time my Rebbe comes back, it's too late. The Poretz said only 1 week, and that's it. What am I going to do? And he started right there to cry. And the Rebbetzin, the Rebbe's wife, she had answered the door and she had told him that the Rebbe was out, and he starts to cry, what am I going to do? The Rebbe's not here. And the Rebbetzin said, well, I'll tell you what you could do. You could try. Our Einikel is in shul. He's learning in shul. Try our Einikel. Maybe he could help you. Now, this man, as he was crying, hears the words of the Rebbetzin. The Einikel of the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin was in shul. You know how old he was? 10 years old. He was a boy, 10 years old. Now, this yid has a problem of life, and chas v'shalom, who knows what, if he ends up in a dungeon with his whole family, and he has to get money, which is going to be impossible for him to get so much money even in a week. And now the Rebbetzin saying, go to a 10-year-old boy learning in shul, maybe he can help you because the Rebbe is out of town. I mean, it was like a dream. Is this what the Rebbetzin is saying? And he goes on crying. She says, no, go ahead, tell him that I sent you, but don't tell anybody else about it, because it's not a thing that usually would happen. But in this case, it's an emergency. The Rebbe is out of town. Kinalak, the Yid had no other choice, no other way. And of course, it's the Rebbetzin, the wife of his Rebbe, who's telling him to go to the shul, to the Einikel. And now he goes to the shul. And in the shul, the 10-year-old Einikel is learning Gemara. He's learning Torah by a table in the shul. A little boy, maybe not as little as you, but he's a little bit older, 10 years old, not even bar mitzvah. And he's learning, and the Yid goes over to him, and he sits down across the table, and the Einikel looks up, and he says, yes. And he starts to cry, and he starts to tell the whole problem, and the Einikel is listening. He says, what makes you think that I can help you? I'm just a little boy. And the Yid says, the Rebbetzin, your grandmother sent me. She said maybe you could help, because the Rebbe is out of town. And the little boy is just looking at the man, the big man telling about the problem with the Poritz and the family. And the little boy is listening. And he says, well, if my Bubby said that you should come to me, I have to listen to my Bubby. Okay, let's go. And he closes the Gemara and he gets up. The Yid says, well, where are we going? He says, I have to go first to the mikveh. How many boys ever went to the mikveh? Okay, now put down your hands. Of course, the Yid has no idea exactly why he has to go to the mikveh, but of course, a mikveh makes you very halik. So he thinks, you know, whatever thing, whatever reason the boy has, he's going to go to the mikveh. Okay. They go to the mikveh. The man, he didn't go in the mikveh, but the boy goes in the mikveh. The man was standing in the room next to the mikveh, and the boy went inside to go into the mikveh. Now, did you ever hear a mikveh? You hear when you go inside the water, you hear a little splash. And when you come out, you hear another splash. Well, if you go in and you come out, it's at least two splashes, right? Well, in this case, this is what happened. He heard the boy go into the mikveh. And of course, when you hear the noise of the splash, you know that the person has gone down. And of course, when you go to the mikveh, how much of you has to go under the water? Is a foot enough? Is one leg enough? Is one ear? If you toivel one ear into the mikveh, is that enough? If you unscrew your eye and put it in the mikveh, is that enough? I mean, how much of you has to go in?
The whole body.
Your whole body. Thank you very much. Your whole body must go under the water. And so, when the Yid heard the splash, the splash. Okay, that's a good word. When the Yid heard the splash, that means be quiet. If you didn't know, let's you know, talk in riddles over here. This means also to be quiet. When the Yid heard the first splash, he knows that the boy went down under the mikveh. And of course, you know, you expect to hear another splash when he comes up. Now, how many times do you have to go down? There's different amounts of times and different things. Of course, we're not going to go into that. But at least one time, or maybe three times. Well, but the Yid heard one splash and not any more noise. It was completely quiet. And he's just standing there thinking. And after a while, he thinks, that's strange. I didn't hear the boy come up. I only heard him go down. And time goes on, and there is no more noise. And the Yid got worried, and he ran to go into the mikveh, into the part where the mikveh was. And as he took one step, he slipped, and he fell. And he got up, and he took another step, and he tripped over the bench. Wait a minute, what's going on over here? What's happening? He goes now into the room where the mikveh was, and he does not see the boy. And he tries now to go a little closer to the mikveh. He slipped again. He gets closer to the mikveh. He sees the boy is under the water. He says, oh, that's what I was worried about. The boy went down, but he didn't come up yet. Now, a long time has gone by. I have to get the boy out. I'm worried. Why isn't he coming up? And he tries to go now to the mikveh to schlep the boy out, and all of a sudden, he trips again. And he gets up, and he slips again. And there were no bananas on the floor. And it wasn't now today the lunchroom is pretty slippery, by the way, we have to be careful. It wasn't the lunchroom floor that's slippery from all the humidity or the precipitation or whatever the heck is on the floor there. Grease? Okay. French fry juice? I don't know what it is. Okay, I think tomorrow we will continue because this is very exciting story, of course. So yeah, don't hold your breath. That was good. Don't hold your breath. So tomorrow we'll continue with this very interesting story. Let's finish the story. We have been underwater for 2 days because the man came to his Rebbe. The Rebbe was out of town. The Rebbetzin said, go to our Einikol in Shul who's learning Torah. How old was the Einikol? 10 years old. And this man has a serious emergency problem that the poet wants to put his whole family, even the baby, in the dungeon because they owe so much money, and the poet is very mean. And the man has no choice. He goes to the shul. The 10-year-old boy is in the shul learning Torah. And he tells the boy the whole problem. A big man with a whole family in a serious problem telling a 10-year-old boy. And the boy is listening. And then all of a sudden he says, I'm sorry. I can't help you. If my Zaidi, the Rebbe, was here, he could help you. I'm not a Rebbe. I'm just a young boy of 10 years old. What would make you think that I could help you? Kenalach, listen to what the man said to the boy. He said, your Babi said that you could help. Now listen here. My whole family is in very, very great danger. If you can't help, really, and you cannot do anything about it, I understand, but I don't understand why your Babi said to come to you. But he said, I will never forgive you if you could help and you're not helping. I will not forgive you in this world, and I will not forgive you in the next world. Just know that. If you could do something to help, and you're not helping, I will never forgive you. This is what the man said to the little boy. And when the little boy heard this, he closed his Gemara, and he said, okay, first I have to go to the mikveh. The Kinalach, we've been in the mikveh for 2 days, because yesterday we went to the zoo. Now how long can a person last in a mikveh without coming up? About 6 minutes. We've been there for 48 hours. Let's go back to the mikveh. The boy went into the mikveh. The man heard one splash, and he knew that the boy went under. But as the time was going, he did not hear another splash, that the boy came up, and he got worried. And he went into the room of the mikveh, and he sees the boy is underwater. And he's concerned that the boy has not come up for a long time. Because, chas v'shalom, if a person does not breathe air for a few minutes, that could be the end of them. Altogether, I think 6 minutes is the longest a person can go without, chas v'shalom, not being able to live without air. And the boy was under for such a long time. And the man wants to get the boy out of the mikveh. What's happening there? And he tries to come to the mikveh. He slips on the floor. He gets up. He tries to get closer. He trips over a bench. He gets up again and his shoe falls off. Every time he tries to get closer to the mikveh, something happens and he can't get closer to the mikveh. And the boy is still down and under the mikveh. And finally, all of a sudden, the boy popped up his head from the mikveh, and the man was so happy and so relieved. He had even forgotten about all of his troubles. All he was concerned was that the boy was alive. He was down there a long time. Well, I guess now it's time for the boy to help, because he said, first I'm going to the mikveh. So what's he going to do? The boy smiles at the man. He says, you can go home now. Everything will be fine. You have no problem from the parets. But you said you'd help. All you did was go to the mikveh. He says, don't worry. Go home. Be happy. Because everything is going to be fine. Just trust in Hashem. You have no more problem to worry about. Now, Kinalach, of course, the man has no idea how the boy has done anything to help. All he was scared and concerned and afraid when the boy went into mikveh for so long. He goes home, back to his home. Shh. And Kinalach, shh. A few weeks later, the man came back to his Rebbe, who had returned from his trip, and the man was so happy, and he wanted to tell his Rebbe the whole story about what happened when he got home. Who wants to hear what happened when the man got home? Okay. When he got home, he had a message that the poet was calling him to his castle. Well, he got afraid because he owed the poet the money and the poet wanted to throw him in jail, right? All he knew that he went to his Rebbe was not there, the boy went in the mikveh, and that was it. What's going to happen now? He goes to the castle, to the Poretz. And of course he expected the Poretz, chas v'shalom, to throw him into the jail and to get his family. And he gets to the door of the castle, and they let him in. And they take him to the room of the Poretz, where he's always in a bad mood, screaming and yelling. And all of a sudden, the Poretz is there with a big smile on his face. He says, oh, I'm so happy to hear to see you. I'm so happy to see you. I have good news for you. I think you'll like what I have to tell you. Sit down. What? The Poretz is asking me to sit down? He never asked me to sit down. He never asked anybody to sit down except maybe another Poretz or something. And why is the Poretz smiling? Is this a trick or something? The Poretz says, a few days ago, I was having a fun party in my house. A few days ago, we were having a big party in the house, eating and drinking and doing all the kinds of things we do at our party. And they served me on my plate my favorite delicious food that I love. a big pickle. And I had mashke, and I started eating the big pickle. And all of a sudden, as I was eating my big pickle, I started to choke on the pickle. It can be that a person eats something and they chas v'shalom start to choke. Now, there is a way to get out the thing that a person is choking on. It's a special thing that everybody should learn in first aid. That if chas v'shalom a person is choking, there's a way to help him to get it out. Now, somebody in the Poritz's castle, probably his doctor, because he has a doctor in the castle, when somebody screams, "Is there a doctor in the castle?" The doctor runs, and he runs over to the Poritz, and he knew how to do that thing, to get out the thing that a person is choking on, and he did it on the Poritz. Now, it usually works. It was not working on the Poritz. He kept on choking. Well, other people knew how to do that thing, and they came and tried, and the pickle was still stuck in the Poritz's throat. He was choking. And the Poritz could not breathe, and he was dying. And the Poritz is telling the Yid, "As I was dying and choking, I thought to myself, why is this happening to me? Why can't anybody get the pickle out of my throat? Maybe I'm being punished for something I did." And all of a sudden he thought to himself, "What did I do so terrible? It's because I'm so mean to that Jewish family and I want to throw them in the dungeon with their baby. Oh, that's probably what I did." And all of a sudden, as he's thinking about this Yid and his family, do you know what happened? Can you guess? Can anybody guess what happened as he is choking on that big piece of pickle? What do you think happened?
The boy was under the water.
What happened to the Poritz? What do you think happened to the Poritz and his piece of pickle as he is doing tshuva?
He stopped choking.
Well, the pickle popped out of the Poritz. That's pretty good. The pickle popped right out of the Poritz, and of course he was able to breathe. And he decided, because his life was saved from that pickle, he is going to forgive the Yid for all the money that he owes him and be nice to him. And he tells the Yid, "All the money that you and your family owe me, you don't have to pay me a penny. And from now on, I'm going to charge you less money, and I'm going to be patient that you should pay it to me." And Kenalach, the Yid was thinking, when was it that the Poritz was choking on the pickle? And when was it that the boy was going down in the water, not breathing underwater? Do you know when it was? Exactly the same time. When do you think it was that the boy had been in the mikveh and the Poritz was choking on the pickle? When do you think that was?
The same time.
It was the same time. And of course, Kenalach, we see now the great Halakhite of Tzaddikim and the Hashkaka practice of Hashem, and how Hashem can help. And of course, we have tremendous, great connections through our Tzaddikim for special help from Hashem. And of course, next time you eat a pickle, be careful, chew it well before you swallow it.